Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, June 19th. In a follow-up to a story we've been covering here on the newscast, the leading cause of death for Coloradans aged 10 to 24 is suicide. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Colorado is among the wealthiest, healthiest states in the nation, but has a higher teen and child death rate than the national average, a rate that has grown worse over the past two decades. The reason is suicide, which reached an all-time high in 2017 and is the leading cause of death for Coloradans ages 10 to 24. The startling statistic is part of a national report released Monday that ranks child wellness across the country based on economic security, health, and education. The annual Kids Count report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, one of the most well-known rankings of children's wellness, put Colorado at 20th overall for child well-being, but 41st among states for children's health. The poor health rating is a result of Colorado's high death rate among kids and teens, lower than average birth weight for babies, and above average use of alcohol and drugs among teens. Colorado's teen suicide rate has climbed from 12 suicides per 100,000 teens in 2014 to 21 deaths per 100,000 teens in 2017, the highest on record since the state health department began in 1980 a detailed tracking by age group. Talk in the Colorado River Basin of impending water shortages has created a sort of anxiety in pockets of the West. It's a feeling that one day water will become so scarce, whole communities will see their faucets turned off. That hasn't happened on a wide scale yet, but one small western town recently got a taste of that possible future. KUNC reporter Luke Runyon was in Paonia recently and has this story.
Ken Knight unfurls a map in his office in downtown Paonia, Colorado. It's about a four-hour drive west of Denver.
This is the town, in surrounded in yellow. Everything in pink is where we sell water to.
We're looking at a sprawling network of colored lines showing where water pipes crisscross this agricultural valley. Knight is the town administrator, meaning he's in charge of making sure its water system works. And earlier this year, it didn't.
If we had had only one of the things happen at each time, we would not have had a crisis. We had all three things happen and we had a crisis.
It started on Valentine's Day. A 2 million gallon tank that stores Paonia's drinking water was dropping fast. No one knew why, and as water pressure went down, a boil order went into effect. A few days later, they found the leak, a pipe leading to a fire hydrant near the banks of the river that flows through town.
And the water was going straight through the river rock into the river, so it was not boiling to the surface.
They patched things up, but it was just the beginning of the problem. Other big leaks were draining the tank too. And because of last year's drought, the mountain springs feeding the tank were running extremely low.
And when the water got to 2 feet, I said, okay, we're shutting off.
That meant for a week, there was no water at all for most of the town's 1,600 customers.
Yeah.
Downtown Paonia is lined with brightly colored shops and restaurants to cater to farm-to-table tourists. Without water, many had to temporarily shut down. Tyler Timbrell manages Living Farm Cafe.
I'd say we probably lost about five or six $1,200 days in our off-season.
That would have been enough money to cover a month's worth of their utilities. Servers and cooks who count on hours and tips were told to stay home.
We kind of just put the whole town behind it, feels like.
People who live and work in town weren't the only ones affected. Hundreds of rural residents were among the first to get cut off.
We're kind of spoiled here in the 2019.
David Hers lives on a farm just outside Paonia. He and his wife took showers at friends' houses in town. He says turning on your faucet and having nothing come out is unsettling.
It was incredible, the kind of psychic effect it had on the community.
He says the incident revealed the sorry shape of Paonia's water system and the town's shortcomings in dealing with a crisis.
These infrastructure costs are going to go up. I expect that. It's the right thing to do at this point.
Here's the town.
Back in his office, town administrator Ken Knight says the water shortage forced community members into some tough conversations about growth.
How do we want to grow? What do we want growth to look like? Do we, at some point in time, put up the barricades and say, not here?
Those questions led to even tougher ones, like whose water use is more important, and are we ready for climate change? Knight says they don't have all the answers, but he's committed to taking steps to prepare for future shortages.
Water is the oil of the 21st century. Clean drinking water, people don't quite understand how difficult it is to run a water system so you have clean drinking water.
If other small towns in the West aren't prepared to handle a combination of drought and leaky infrastructure, he says Paonia's story is a warning of things to come. I'm Luke Runyon in Paonia, Colorado.
From a press release, Montrose County and the U.S. Forest Service, Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests officially opened 90 Road and Divide Road following significant snow removal operations. Crews have been working diligently to remove snow, including an additional foot of snow that fell on the plateau over the Memorial Day holiday weekend. Montrose County road and bridge crews have also been challenged by increased runoff and road washouts from water. The county estimates that this is the first time in over 30 years that the plateau roads have not been accessible by late May. At this time, all major roads are open across the Uncompahgre Plateau to include 90 Road, Dave Wood Road, Divide Road, Transfer Road, and 25 Mesa Road. There is still snow at the top of the plateau, and several side trails are not accessible. Please be advised that dispersed camping options are limited at higher elevations. The roads are drying out, but the public is encouraged to seek alternate routes if there are large amounts of rain. Travel on muddy roads not only increases the chances of getting a vehicle stuck, but it also is damaging to the road itself. Finally, the two designated campgrounds on the plateau, Iron Springs and Columbine, are open to the public at this time. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, June 19th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.